Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again to worship. And we have the same desire every time to have an encounter with God, to talk to Him, to experience Him anew, to be strengthened in our faith. If we ever need it to strengthen each other in our faith, to encourage and comfort each other, then it is the time we are living in now. And as I stood there, and as I sat there, the thought came to me when our Lord said, "Will the Son of Man find faith on earth when He comes?" And you notice exactly, it doesn't say, "Will the Son of David?" or "Will the Son of God?" But "Will the Son of Man find faith?" Every time the word "Son of Man" is written with reference to our Lord, it has to do with the fulfillment of prophecy. When it comes to redemption, He is Son of God. When it comes to the millennial reign, He is Son of David. If it is about healing, He is healer. Each time, in the specific context and in the right connection, you all know, a Gentile woman came to the Lord and said, "Jesus, thou Son of David," and He left her standing there, didn't answer at all. And then He said something about the dogs. And then she said, "But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's tables." The woman was a Gentile. She had no right to address Him as Son of David. And we heard this clearly in Brother Branham's sermon. There are so many precious and profound thoughts that God has given us by grace in His Word and revealed to us by His Spirit. We want to recognize our Lord as the Son of God and the power of His resurrection, which makes the whole of redemption manifest in our lives. We want to recognize and believe Him as the Son of Man in what is prophetically happening now. Very many believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They believe in the forgiveness of sins, but they do not believe that He is the Son of Man. And we can read this connection several times in the prophet Ezekiel, where God speaks, "Son of Man, prophesy to this people." The word "Son of Man" is used for the prophetic ministry, and God has arranged it that way. When it was read out here of the law of the Lord, those who walk in the law of the Lord, God willing, I will speak and perhaps write about it, because most believers are detached from the word of the Old Testament And they do not know that the law has set the boundaries for all of us, and that we cannot put anything aside, but that God will judge us according to His law. But there will be no other basis for judgment than the law of God, which He has decreed forever and ever. No one will experience that God will judge someone off the cuff. The basis of judgment will be the law of God. There will be no other judgment in eternity. But the thought occurred to me, I have already told the brothers before, in 2 Thessalonians 2 it says that the lawless one will be revealed. And once you understand that, the lawless one, the one who has detached himself from the law and who thinks he is God and can determine and decide everything himself, just like a person who is godless, is detached from God. So a person who is lawless is detached from the law. And don't think that this is Old Testament preaching. Those who have not yet realized that Satan's greatest trick was to take away the foundation of the Old Testament from God's people. And anyone who has not realized that the Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament has neither the one nor the other. And you all know, in the relevant sermon, for many, Brother Branham only used Old Testament scriptures, so to speak. And then comes the objection, yes, he read from the Old Testament. I ask you today, what did the Lord Jesus read from? What did Paul read from? What did Peter read from? What did they all read from? What did Polycarp read from? What did Irenaeus and all the men in the first and second centuries read from? The New Testament letters were letters addressed to local churches, which were passed on from church to church. But when Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, the reading was from the law. And he built on this, and he preached the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. Anyone who doesn't understand this is building in a vacuum. They haven't understood what it's all about. And I think you look at me with too much disbelief and think I'm bringing you something new. It is very old. It would be nice if it become new to us. Here, on the last page of the book of Acts, there is a word written that certainly cannot and must not be overlooked. Acts chapter 28. Here it says, in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening.
Als an die Propheten für Jesus zu gewinnen suchte.
Paul did not preach from I mean, I think. He preached the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Holy Scriptures. And therefore, we can know once and for all that these men of God were led by the Spirit of God. And the trick of the enemy has really been that he has led people away from the Word of God. We can call it the law. I'll read you a word and you will see that it doesn't mean the law of Moses, and yet the word law is used. 1 Corinthians 14. I don't even know how we come to that now. 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And do you know where this saying is found? It's not in Exodus or Leviticus. It's in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 28. We really need to understand this well and thoroughly, that everything that was taught in the New Testament was founded on the rock-solid ground of the Old Testament. Even in the letter to the Hebrews, Paul writes, so we believe, he certainly wrote the letters to the Hebrews. And he says here, in chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, it says, from verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. What did God want to write in our hearts? Some interpretation of a parable? Some interpretation that a person brings? He wanted to write His law, His guidelines, the boundaries He has set for mankind into our hearts, so that we can live our lives here on earth with God within these divine boundaries that have been set for us. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Yes, sir. Christ was the fulfillment of the law. He was the first to fulfill the requirement of the entire law without a single transgression. He was the only one who could take our transgressions upon himself, because he had none. In this way, the way has been prepared for us, so that through his grace, God's word can also be fulfilled through us. But today we have a prayer meeting. But one day it must be said clearly, very clearly in fact, because people do not realize that they are detached from the word of God. And that must not be the case. We must stand firmly grounded in the word of God. And the word of God certainly does not begin with Matthew chapter 1. It begins with Genesis 1 and ends with the last verse of Revelation 22. Everything is the word of God, the Old and New Testament, brought to a common denominator. There the promises, here the fulfillment, here the law, here the grace, to comply with the law and to be able to fulfill what God has promised and what he demands. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. If we examine the matter in this way, whether it was David or others who wrote the Psalms, then we realize with what a heartfelt desire they expressed to be pleasing to God. And furthermore, it says here in verse 17, right after verse 16, which was read out, let us read verse 16 also. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word. And now it comes. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is our desire and our prayer, not lawfulness. You should, you must. That is not the case at all. I want to put my laws into their minds and write them into their hearts. In the Old Testament, they were written on tablets or scrolls. In the New Testament, your heart and mine should be the ground on which all these things that God has written can be written. Who of us has the courage to pray like this? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Beloved, knowledge of sin comes through the law. There is no other way. Man cannot know what sin is unless he is convicted by the Spirit of God through the law of God. And just as we have earthly laws, there is a ban on passing, and there is a speed limit, and there are various laws, and they all have something to say to us. And anyone who breaks them must expect to be punished, because the law is there to be observed and obeyed. That's the way it is with the things of God. And then the Holy Scriptures say that the entire law and the prophets are summarized in this psalm. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when we do this, we fulfill every commandment and every law without making it a commandment and a law for ourselves. For then it is the grace and power of God in our lives. Not you should and you must and you must not, but then it is God's work in your life and in mine. If we love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves, this is the fulfillment of the whole law and all the prophets. Then the matter is made simple for us. May God grant us grace to obey this and love Him above all things and one another, each of us, our neighbor, as ourselves. And then God will surely reach the goal with us and still find a small flock on earth that can believe, that will believe, and that will persevere to the end. And only those who persevere to the end will be crowned. May God also give us grace to pray. You all know that we cannot give instructions for prayer, but there is one thing we ask again and again. Let us make a distinction in this place between the prayer here and the prayer in the closet. But if the Spirit of God begins to work so that others are infected by the fire of God, then there are no limits. But if we only serve God in general, let's keep it short and sweet. The shorter, the better. The more people can pray. On the other hand, if we are disturbed and held up by someone else's prayer, then we must seek and eliminate the short circuit in ourselves. We must also have a balance in this. Just as it is right to pray really briefly and succinctly about the thing that God has just laid on your heart, it's the right thing to do. But if someone prays somewhat longer, even if they are unwise, and we dwell on it, then the disturbance is actually in us, and we spoil our connection with God, and perhaps walk away unblessed. So let us all pay attention to who is praying and who is praying along, so that no one disturbs the other and no one allows themselves to be disturbed, and everyone seeks and finds their connection to God. And if we are already praying aloud here, may those who pray aloud pray so loudly and clearly, and we all pray along, that we can say amen to it. But basically, it is not so important whether we listen to what someone is praying, but that we raise our voices together and seek the face of God. What is important is that God hears, that He hears us, and that He answers. Praise be to His name. Amen. Heavenly Father, with a deeply bowed heart, I thank You for Your word, for all your prophets whom you had, through whom you spoke and worked. My God, the Word was already in the beginning. The same Word is at the end and will be forever. Lord, not in many words, but with grateful hearts, we come before your face to give you thanks that you speak to us now, as you spoke to your disciples then. You began with Moses, with the prophets, and with the Psalms, and you said, did not all that is written have to be fulfilled? Lord, I thank you that you are speaking at this time, just as you did then, that you have true disciples who hear your true word and whose hearts burn when you speak to them. Worship and honor be to your holy name. Bless all, especially Brother Terai and all his relatives. Bless them, O Lord, and comfort them in the hours and days of affliction. Heal the sick and raise them up. Correct us and reveal yourself as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you have spoken. Who shall not hear? Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be to you from eternity to eternity. Amen.